Let's continue this morning in our work through the Ten Commandments. Our text is, we're going to read all that we've done so far. So it's Exodus 20, verses 1 through 12, if you want to follow along, Ken. I'd love it if you did, actually. So do that, I guess. Maybe that's what I'm saying is, hey, follow along. I'm going to read this to you now. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Then our verse for this morning. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. This is the word of the Lord. This week, as I was working on the sermon, I found myself thinking back to those worksheets, handwriting worksheets that you used to get as kids. I've seen a few come home with my kids. Anybody remember these? They were the worksheets. They have like the dotted lines, and you trace over them, and it sort of forms your handwriting over time. I actually remembered because I was scribbling on a piece of paper and realized that my handwriting is atrocious, more atrocious than the sound of extra in that song. Anyway, it's really bad. And I started thinking back to like how helpful it would be if I would actually do some worksheets. Because the point of those worksheets is not just to force kids to do things that they don't want to do, which, believe it's true, it's not what it's for, Matt. They're not just to punish. I know you didn't like this. But anyway, the point of doing that is so that we create a handwriting that communicates something to other people, right? That our handwriting, that the letters we make are actually formed in such a way that other people can read them and understand what we're saying, right? I mean, if you looked at the page that I was scribbling on this week, you'd have no idea what I was saying. But if I would do some work on my handwriting, if I would allow my letters to be shaped into forms that actually look like actual letters, you would be able to hear what I'm trying to get at. Now, this morning in our service, we've been trying to focus on how the Lord acts towards us as a loving parent. That's been pretty like obvious in the service. And what we're seeing this morning and what we see in other places in the Scripture is that the Lord as a parent is tender, he's patient, he's jealous for his kids in the best sort of way. He disciplines them in love. He's willing to let them learn and grow and even fail at times. That's a hard one for me as a dad, giving room for my kids to fail for the sake of their ultimate good. We see the Lord's close and the Lord's intimate. We see that the Lord sees glory in his kids, right? The Lord is able to look at his children and see what's really there, and then he's willing to work to bring that out of them. Isn't that what loving parents do? The Lord speaks, but unlike this dad, the Lord also knows the power and good timing of silence. You know those times when the Lord is just quiet? And he does it because he's a good parent. The parental love of God even sometimes pushes on some of our more culturally bound notions of parenting. There's an amazing verse in Isaiah 66 that I was reading this week. And it speaks of God bringing the humble of the earth to metaphorically nurse at the breast of Jerusalem as he comforts his people like a mother comforts her child. That's an astounding image. Not only an astounding image of the Lord, but also an astounding image of what his church is all about with this Jerusalem church connection. That's a whole other conversation. But amazing as we see what the Lord is like. My point is that the Lord is the God of this loving parental care in the best possible sense of what a parent is. And we also know from our other reflection that we're called to spread that image, right? We're called to be image bearers of this God that we're seeing this morning is a God of loving parental care. So what does that have to do with the fifth commandment? Well, the fifth commandment calls us to honor our parents, both of them, mind you, which is sort of rare in ancient Near East literature. Get it, by the way, mind you? Anyway, don't mind me. I'm going to amuse, just be a little, anyway, nobody else called it. That's fine. But I'd like to suggest to you this morning, as I move on from a really bad internal moment, that this commandment is about more than us just having nice-looking families whose kids answer politely and keep their shoes on in church. I wish my kids kept their shoes on in church. I believe that. The fifth commandment, in as much as it's a call for us to honor our parents, and it is, it's also a call for us to be shaped. That as God's people, we'd be shaped in such a way that other people can see what God is like as a parent. That our lives and the way that we live together is actually communicating something accurate about God as a parent. You see, a certain kind of order is important to the Lord. The Lord brings order out of chaos, Genesis 1, right? Everything is formless and void, and the Lord speaks into it and creates a pattern, an order. The New Testament has some pretty important instruction on living within structures of authority in settings where the authority structures aren't, everything's not exactly equal as it relates to function. We see that in the household codes of Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. I think that order has an eschatological import in relation to what's restraining the mysterious man of lawlessness in Thessalonians 2. We see is that Yahweh, this God that we worship, is a God of order. Sometimes it's a puzzling order, right? That's true. Sometimes the rhythm that the Lord's playing is kind of jazzy, like one of those weird jazz time signatures where I don't know how the math works. Sometimes the rhythm, the order of the Lord is more like the noisy finale to the 1812 overture than it is to like a Baroque etude. That's true. But there is an order to what God is doing and what he's working in the world. And what I'm saying this morning is that when we cooperate with the fifth commandment, this idea that we're going to delve into a little bit of honoring authorities, honoring fathers and mothers, when we cooperate with that commandment, we're being shaped as a people into letters that communicate the loving parental order of God to the world around us. What I want to say this morning is, as much as the fifth commandment is telling kids to honor their parents, and that's true, it's also a very missional commandment. The fifth commandment is very outward focused. Remember, this set of commandments comes to a people that have been rescued out of Egypt. The Lord's already done the rescuing. He's already called them his people, and now he's building into them a certain kind of identity. This is what it means to be the rescued people of God. And one of those things is to honor authorities. So what I want to do this morning is really focus in on how our approach to authority communicates or patterns the parental love of God. Now, I will go ahead and admit to you that I'm sort of assuming a certain part of the argument, and that is that when we see in the text, in this verse, honor your father and mother, it's talking about more than just sort of genetic fathers and mothers. We see in the scriptures places where the word father, parental terms, are applied to people in authority. We see that in 2 Kings 2 and also in 13. And this has been the general and consistent reflection, theological reflection of the church from the early fathers on. So I'm just going to tell you, I'm just assuming that. If that's troublesome to you, we can talk more. I suggest gelato. We can talk about it. I had a wonderful gelato time this week, so thank you for that. That was fun. So please talk to me. I recognize, I've said this several weeks in a row, like, there's been so much theological reflection on the Ten Commandments. You will not hear everything from me in the 30 minutes I allot to myself on a Sunday morning. But I'd love to talk to you more. So I'm assuming that. I'm assuming that father and mother means more than just genetic father and mother. It has to do with that as well as authority more broadly. And what I want us to see first of all this morning as we look at this text is how do we pattern the loving parental care of the Lord as those who are under authority, as a people that have people over us. How do we do that? Well, I think the best way for us to understand how can we cooperate with this commandment as those who are under someone else's authority is to look at this word honor. Etymologically speaking, the word used here has to do with weight. The Hebrew word here sort of carries with the idea of weight. It has to do with recognizing that something or someone has a gravity to them, has a significance to them. That is to say, as those who are under authority, we are to respond to those who God has placed over us with the recognition that they're significant, that it's important, that it's weighty. We're to respond to those that God has placed over us with a due sense of, we might even use the terminology of reverence, to revere them. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says it pretty soberly, actually. It says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. And can we just stop here and say, do you remember who the governing authorities were when Paul was writing this? Roman emperors, not known for their niceness, right? I mean, you've heard of Nero. It's probably a little bit earlier than Nero, but right around that time, Nero had a history of like making lamps out of people. Not nice. And Paul says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority, including Roman emperors, there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. That's sober. I think that's sober. See, as those who want others to see the loving parental order of God, we're actually called as his people to show the goodness of God's order by treating those in authority over us with significance. By treating those who are in authority over us as though there's gravity to them. It doesn't mean that we have to always agree. I told that to Lily this morning. You don't have to agree with me, but you do have to cooperate with me. It doesn't mean when we look at authorities that we always have to agree because we won't. And it might even mean that at some point we have to not go along with what they say and incur the consequences for it because they're asking us to do something that God has said no to. But even then, even in the times when we have to say, I hear what you're saying, my God says no, I'll take the consequences, even then, we must even refuse with an observable honor or recognition of the significance of the one in authority. We can honor those in authority because we know, as we sing, that God's loving care is around us there. He holds me that I shall not fall, even if authorities act in ways that we think are unjust or immoral. When we honor authorities God has set over us, regardless of their actions, regardless of the actions of the authority over us, when we honor authorities that God has set over us, we demonstrate that God's rule is right, even if the authorities are themselves failing to submit to it. What I'm suggesting to you this morning is that honor is an apologetic. So let me ask you this question. Whose authority has God placed you under today? Are you a child, a worker, a citizen? We're all under someone's authority. So how do you talk about your parents when you talk about them? How do you talk to your parents when you talk to them? Does it demonstrate the significance of the order of God? What stories do you tell about your boss at work? Do they demonstrate a trust in God's good order? Some of you are waiting for it. What kind of language goes into your Facebook posts about our president or about our governor or about the courts? It's very quiet all of a sudden. You see, so often our hearts long to throw off authority. And sometimes we long to throw off authority because we think it's just terrible. And you know what? Sometimes authorities act in terrible ways. But as God's people, we are called to act with significance towards those who are over us. I mean, the truth is that all of us, we want to be autonomous. We want to get rid of authority. And it goes back as far as the Garden of Eden, right? Wasn't that the temptation? Like, God and his crazy rules. But you see, it's in submitting to authorities that God has set over us, and in acting towards them with honor, even if we completely disagree, and even if we have to take a stand and say, whatever the consequences, I can't go there. When we act in a way that recognizes the honor of God's loving parental care, honor becomes an apologetic. This command calls us to recognize that the way to wholeness is not in throwing off all restraint. It's not in getting rid of all those crazy authorities. The way to wholeness is in submitting to the loving care of our Father in heaven, who sent Jesus to start restoring things back to the wholeness they're made for. So does your engagement with the authorities over you proclaim that kind of a message? Does your engagement with authorities over you present a picture of God's loving parental care, that you care about the way that he has established the world? How we respond as those under authority creates a pattern by which we communicate a message about our God. So what's your message about God? But there's also something else in this passage, I think, and that's that we don't only set a pattern of what God's like by the way that we engage as those under authority. We also do that as those in authority. Now, I've worked quite a bit in the past with kids, and I've seen examples of kids who've like never seen a boundary in their whole life. So that when you like present one, they're like, I don't know what that is. This actually happened yesterday. I was with some friends that gave us a grill, kind of a beer grill, and this kid's like, he like takes the top off and he's like getting inside it, and I'm like, let's put the top back on. And he's just like, and he's still in there, you know. He's like all in this, like, and I'm thinking, we need to put the top back on the grill. And he just kind of, he's never seen a boundary in his whole life. So for me to present one, he's like, I don't know what that's all about. But I was also thinking this week, I was talking to Marie about one of my first kids on my caseload when I was a juvenile probation officer, a kid named Leo. And Leo had gotten into some trouble. I forget what substance he was using or what kind of a fight he got in at school. But he was on my caseload, so I went to visit his house. And I knocked on the door to the side, because we learned that you kind of knock and stand off to the sides. That way if something happens and you're out of the way. But it's kind of weird. But anyway, so I stopped by and I'm visiting with Leo and his parents, or visiting with Leo and his mom. And the thing about Leo's mom is that she had been in prison for about 2 years. Totally gone from Leo's life. But now she's back. She's back with a vengeance, and she's back with the intent that my kids will not go to prison. So she clamped down with an authority that was relentless and controlling and capricious at times and selfish. How do you think Leo responded to that kind of authority? Leo bristled at the sniff of anything authoritative-like. His picture of what an authority did was so out of whack that for him, the thought of anybody stepping in and saying, Leo, you have to do this or you're going into state custody, he wanted no part of that. What kind of response do you think Leo would have to the notion that God's a loving parent? Leo had few categories, if any, for what it meant to submit to the authority of a loving God who set rules, but did it because of an intense love for his kids. Now, I also think with some regularity about my own girls, and I tell them sometimes in their angst about doing something that we've said, you know, I'll say something like, you know, the Lord's put mommy and me in charge of you to teach you how to live in his world. He put us in charge of you because he loves you. And we need you to cooperate. But sometimes I also wonder what kind of a picture my girls get of God based on me. I mean, I wonder sometimes, am I creating a picture of a God who's really just kind of frustrated by the inconvenience of not getting his way? Am I creating that kind of a picture for these people that are under my authority? Or am I presenting a picture to them of a God whose love for his creation is so great that he is willing to go to amazing lengths to restore it to glory? I mean, as a parent this morning, I look at a passage like this, honor your father and mother, and I go, yeah, do it. But I'm also kind of waiting for the time when it'll probably be Eva who will quote back to me like Ephesians 6:4, Colossians 3:21. Those are the ones that say, fathers, don't provoke your kids. That's going to be like a pastoral high point for me and a parental like failure, I think. But here's the thing. How we act as those who have authority also sets a picture of what God is like. Now, we're not all parents, right? Looking out here, you're not all parents. Some of you are. Some of you have places of authority as bosses and supervisors. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are government officials. Some of you are training or have trained and you're intellectual authorities in your fields of study. You're in a place of authority. What is the way that you exercise that authority? What does it say about the God of all creation? The God that you are covenantally bound to because of the work of Jesus. So you may not be a father or mother, but I would say that God's people who are in positions of any kind of authority have a restorative function in the life of people who have never seen what a good authority looks like. In the lives of people who have had their picture of God maligned by others. So I suppose I'm asking if you'd be willing to take that on as a member of God's people who have authority, who have a place in people's life. Would you be part of creating a pattern so that people can look at the way that you use your authority and see, oh, that's what God is like? But how? I think the answer to that is at least partly the same as what we said before, which is that those who have authority need to act as though the authority we have has honor and significance. That as parents, as intellectual leaders, as teachers, as bosses, that we would be a people that understand that our authority is a matter of honor and weight of significance. See, honor isn't apologetic from that side too. So for those of you that are in authority, are you approaching your position with humility? Maybe as someone in authority, you recognize you've been wielding your authority for your sake and not for the sake of this picture of God. I'd like to encourage those of you in authority to have a heavier view of your place, a weightier view of where you are in life, that you have a part, and again, in restoring people's pictures of what God is like by the way you wield your authority. Maybe that means for some of you, you need to consider who you need to repent to. It might be your kids. You might need to kneel down before one of your little ones and say, I didn't do that right. I actually think that shows something profound to children. My dad is under someone's authority. Thought about that earlier in the week because the girls had been really rowdy this week. I was like, I don't know where Danielle is, but she would go, yes, they've been really rowdy. Summer is like, you know, we're over halfway through summer, so they've been nuts around the house. There's been lots of fighting, and when they're not fighting, they're playing, and sometimes you can't tell the difference because the yelling and screaming. So, and finally, I'm like, you've got to stop screaming, stop yelling. Mommy wants you to do this. And then, like 2 seconds later, here they come around the corner, and all of a sudden, like Lily starts crying, and I'm like, enough. Enough! I'm tired of the screaming. Stop! And Eva looks at me and goes, I was going to carry her downstairs. She bumped her foot on the wall. I'm like, worst parent ever. So you know what I did? I knelt down and I said, listen, I did that wrong. I just did that wrong, honey. I'm sorry. You were trying to take care of your sister, and I wasn't paying attention. I was thinking about being frustrated by the noise. I did that wrong, honey. Will you forgive me? You know what Eva saw there? A picture of a dad under authority. A picture of a dad that has to submit to someone higher than himself. So that when I say to her, listen, God put mommy and I in charge of you to teach you how to live in this world that he made. I think that that provides a little street credibility. Because what we're doing as those in authority saying, whether we recognize it or not, this is what God is like. I think we need to approach that with a sense of gravity, with a sense of weight, with a sense of honor. And I'd like to call you to do the same. Well, I've been thinking a lot about lots of things, and my girls come up a lot for me, but I was thinking this week about who they look like. Some of you may have thoughts on this. What Danielle and I have decided is that when I look at Eva, I see in her facial features, I totally see like my side of the family. There have been a few times that I've gone, you look just like your aunt. Sometimes in like very vivid ways, I see pictures of my sister and when she was a kid. But Eva has totally Danielle's side of the family is like build, like the long legs, arms. Like if you like just look shoulders down, it's Danielle. Head up, it's my side of the family. Lily, on the other hand, has Danielle's facial features, but with great apologies to Lily, she's totally got my body, right? Junior high is going to kick in, and I'm just going to repent over and over again. But anyway, we can't get Claire to stop moving long enough to inspect. But those features aren't there because they've manipulated themselves into looking like us, right? I mean, Lily did not get up and go, I'm going to have my daddy's body today and do whatever she could do. It didn't happen. Those features are a part of my kids because they've been born from Danielle and I, right? They bear the imprint of their parents. Now, I suppose they could hide those things, but it would take a lot of work. And in the end, I think they would find it largely frustrating, if not painful. Now, when we look at this passage, on the one hand, this passage is telling us, honor authorities, honor your parents. Simple, not easy, but simple, we should do that. It's not an option. Like, let's not assume that it's an option. It's not. But I also think that this commandment is here for more reasons than just the Lord saying, get in there and act right, you. I think there's more to it than that. Because I see a call in this commandment to you and to me to show the rest of the watching world what God is like. I believe that this call to honor authorities is apologetic. We're talking this morning about showing the pattern of God's loving order through the ways that we engage with the authorities that he set in place. What makes this, I believe, more than just a call to moral gumption is that if you've been born again by faith through Christ, you look like your father. You've been united to Jesus. You bear his imprint. That's what you look like. So quit hiding it. Sometimes our failure to honor authorities is just us hiding the image of God behind grumpiness and nastiness and arrogance and all kinds of other things. If you've been born through the work of Jesus, born again through the work of Christ, you look like your father. Let's show that to the world that's watching. Let's show that by the way that we honor authorities, that we say God's order matters. See, hiding and fighting against that, it's only going to lead to your frustration. I mean, if you see, there's this promise in the command, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and mother. Things work better that way. Honoring those in authority over us, it's better. It's better for us. It presents a better picture to the world. So I guess my question for you today, I've said that several times, I guess another question for you today is whether or not you'll be willing to delight in this order that God has set you into. Will you honor those that are in authority over you? Or will you fight against it? Fighting against God's authority, even as it's played out on authority structures that he set over you, will lead you to frustration. But delighting in it will lead to others seeing your good works and glorifying your Father who's in heaven. Honor is apologetic. And I believe that we're called to that this morning, that we as God's people would set a pattern for the loving, parental, caring order of our God in heaven. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I hear your call this morning, and I pray that you'll strengthen me to obey. To have such a high regard for you and what you're doing in the world that I'm willing to cooperate with your authority, even as it's played out through other authorities that you've set over me. But Lord, this is going to take a lot of strength and a lot of help for us, because authority is not really our strong suit. So Lord, help us to believe that what you say is always true, even when you call us to do hard things. And we will be really grateful. So help us to honor authorities. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I am so glad that every week we do this. Part of this is because I was telling Danielle yesterday, you know, sometimes you get to a passage in Scripture and it says, go do something hard. And, you know, there's a part of me, I was telling her, you know, like when I work on my sermons throughout the week, sometimes I can't wait to get up here because it's just going to be like a Jesus home run. And it's just going to be like, it's going to be so obvious where Jesus is in this. And I'm just going to go, yeah. And everybody will be inspired and maybe it'll be a fun story and someone will cry and I'll go, great, great week. Total success, right? Like Lynn cried, so I'm good, right? You know, so, but then you get to like honor your, you know, honor authorities, and it's like, this is going to be tough. But you know what? Here's why I say all that, because I love that we get to come to this spot, because you know who always honored the authorities over him? Jesus did. You know who was always in submission to his Father? Jesus was. And you know that his honor of his parents and authorities, I mean, think about Jesus, the Lord of the cosmos, put himself underneath a couple parents that didn't even get what he was doing. And he submitted to them and honored them. I suspect he didn't always agree with them. Jesus acted in honor towards authorities over him. I was thinking this week, Jesus rails against some people that look like they have authority in the Gospels but actually didn't have any authority. But he acted with an incredible amount of honor towards authorities that were there. Did you notice that he doesn't like foam at the mouth at the Roman authorities? Jesus acts with honor towards authority. But what continues to be amazing to me about all that, this is not like sermon part two. I want to get to this. I'm working my way here. Is that Jesus, in doing all of that, no one made God more clear than Jesus, the very imprint of the Father, right? And what I want to say to us as we finally get to what is really the culmination of our service each week, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, where we come together around this amazing picture of Christ. Christ who always obeyed. Christ who always honored authority. And he did that for a bunch of people that struggle with authority. So that as we feed upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, we actually have strength to do things like obey, whether it's easy or not. I delight in the Lord's Supper, especially when the passage is saying, you've got some work to do. So I want us to come here this morning, not to hear a passage and go, I need to get better at this and walk away, but to say, I do need to get better at this, but look at the strength that the Lord has provided, the body and blood of Christ, for me to feed upon. So I can be strengthened to live out the pattern of God before a watching world. So let's remember this morning what it is that Jesus has done for us. Remember with me that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and giving thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And lest I forget, get ahead of myself, he also took up the cup. And lifting it up, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus honored the Father all the way into death for you and for me. If you're here this morning and you're a believer, you're a baptized believer, I'm so glad for you to be here with us and to celebrate Jesus with us. You don't have to be a member of Lake Trails. You don't have to be a member of, I don't know, whatever else. If you're a Christian, you're welcome here. If you're a Christian that doubts, you're welcome here. If you're a Christian with questions, you're welcome here. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we're really glad that you're with us this morning. And if you've got questions about who Jesus is, I'd love to talk to you about that. Our hope is that you could come to this table too and feed upon Christ. So thanks for being here with us this morning. What I want us to do now as we prepare to participate in this sacrament is we're going to take a moment of silence. I'm going to ask the musicians to come on up. I'm going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to set apart these elements to our strength and for his purposes. And then we'll lift up our hearts and delight in Christ. Holy Spirit, we do ask now that you would take these elements of bread and juice and would you use them for your purposes. Strengthen us, lift up our hearts to where Christ is that we might feed on the reality of the gospel. And be strengthened to go out and demonstrate our Father in heaven to a watching world, even in the ways that we honor authorities. So, Lord, as we lift up our hearts to you, would you delight with us and in us as we delight in you? We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's lift up our hearts to the Lord. Side to serve you. There is a gluten-free portion over here if that's helpful for you. But take a minute and come and receive from the Lord. Brothers and sisters, by faith, this is the body of Christ. Take and eat, all of you. Likewise, by faith, this is the blood of Christ. Drink from it, all of you. Lord God, thank you that you are our Father in heaven. He shapes us in your image through Christ. May we, as we demonstrate Jesus to the world, may we show what you're like. Lord, strengthen us to that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.